Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution.
Greetings and welcome to the ID the Future podcast. I'm Casey Luskin, and on this podcast, I'm going to read an article I published in the latest issue of Salvo magazine titled Scientocracy Rules, Creating Consensus is the PC Way to Get Smart. Set to inspirational choir music and glorious scenes of rugged green shoreline, Carl Sagan opened his television documentary Cosmos by declaring that the cosmos is all that is, or ever was, or ever will be. The famous astronomer then outlined a plan for humanity's salvation, stating, quote, "For the first time, we have the power to decide the fate of our planet and ourselves. This is a time of great danger, but our species is young and curious and brave. It shows much promise. In the last few millennia, we have made the most astonishing and unexpected discoveries about the cosmos and our place within it. I believe our future depends powerfully on how well we understand this cosmos on which we float like a mote of dust in the morning sky," unquote. Imagine a world where Sagan and his followers controlled science, media, and politics, and most everything else. We might call it a Scientocracy. And for Sagan's followers, that goal is reachable, so long as we let scientism, the pretension that science can solve all of our problems, govern society. Scientific literacy. If Sagan is a law, then his messenger just might be Chris Mooney, a science journalist whose recent book with Cheryl Kirshenbaum, Unscientific America, How Science Illiteracy Threatens Our Future, mentions the astronomer's name no fewer than 60 times. According to Mooney, we need an America where, quote, "science has far more prominence in politics and media, and ultimately far more influence where it truly matters, namely setting the agenda for the future as far out as we can glimpse it," unquote. The key to fulfilling Sagan's vision is to produce a populace that shows a, quote, "broader acceptance," unquote, of science, and that is, quote, "as scientifically literate as anyone could reasonably hope for," unquote. At base, science literacy is certainly not a bad thing. A scientifically literate individual is simply someone capable of making informed decisions about scientific questions in both his personal and his civic life. One might presume that, so long as a person has a working knowledge of science, perhaps even a college-level science education, that he would be scientifically literate even if he descended from, say, neo-Darwinian evolution. Not so. Though Mooney might claim otherwise, Unscientific America appears based upon the premise that science literacy requires full assent to the consensus on controversial topics like evolution, embryonic stem cell research, and global warming. It's not even clear whether science literacy demands an understanding of science, provided that one endorses all the proper policy positions. By redefining scientific literacy from an understanding of science into wholesale capitulation to the consensus, true scientific literacy, including the right to debate and dissent, is left in the dust. Picking the right targets. In a scientocracy, unless you're a scientist, politician, journalist, or citizen who fully accedes to the consensus, then your opinion not only doesn't matter, it might even be dangerous. Thus, Mooney sentimentally warns that, quote, "In the demon-hunted world, the final book published before his death, Carl Sagan worried openly that the forces of darkness were beating out those of the scientific establishment," unquote. Mooney's writings leave no confusion about the identity of those, quote, "forces of darkness," unquote. His previous book, The Republican War on Science, traced, quote, "the modern right's war on intellectuals," unquote, to two leaders in the intelligent design movement, Discovery Institute co-founders Bruce Chapman and George Gilder. Though they were once, quote, "opponents of right-wing anti-intellectualism," quote, Mooney writes that Chapman and Gilder, quote, "are now prominent supporters of conservative attacks on the theory of evolution, not just a bedrock of modern science, but one of the greatest intellectual achievements of human history," unquote. Unscientific America elaborates on these, quote, "threats," unquote, to science as coming from, quote, "right-wing ideologues," unquote, who make, quote, "attacks on the scientific consensus," unquote, and seek to, quote, "artificially maintain a controversy where none actually existed within the scientific community," unquote. Even worse, there are, quote, "the anti-science conservative Christians who populate the creation science and intelligent design movements," unquote. This movement is purportedly a, quote, "reactionary crusade," unquote, composed of, quote, "science abusers," unquote, who are, quote, "the epitome of anti-intellectualism," unquote, and are waging, quote, "a war on science," unquote. These are the, quote, "foes," unquote, of Scientocracy, and Mooney's call to arms avers that it is, quote, "long past time to face them, squarely and effectively unified with allies across our society," unquote. Despite his apparent predilection for invective-laden attacks, Mooney blasts his own atheist allies for their, quote, loud, angry, nasty, and profanity-stewing world that denounces the rest of America for its ignorance and superstition, unquote. But Mooney, who co-founded the Yale College Society of Humanists, Atheists, and Agnostics and helped draft the Bill of Rights for Unbelievers during an internship with the Campus Free Thought Alliance, now hopes to style himself as a more religion-friendly atheist. The big debate among atheists today is whether to target all religious beliefs for destruction or only those with the audacity to challenge the consensus. Mooney opts for the latter, more incrementalist approach, chiding new atheists who attack the Catholic Church when supposedly it is, quote, not even opposed to evolution, unquote. This wasn't always Mooney's approach. When I confronted him at a Seattle bookstore in 2006 about the antics of P.Z. Myers, he refused to speak ill of his atheist colleague. 3 years later in Unscientific America, he is quick to publicly censure Myers for, quote, an outright combativeness, unquote, that is, quote, strongly counterproductive, unquote, in the fight to, quote, create an America more friendly toward science and reason, unquote, and, quote, bring science to all the people, unquote. But Mooney warns that, quote, many U.S. religious believers are just as extreme, unquote, as a new atheist, because these, quote, zealots, unquote, have the temerity to, quote, reject bedrock scientific findings, including an entire field, evolutionary biology, because they wrongly consider such knowledge incompatible with faith, unquote. Mooney exhorts us to, quote, think only about taking a rest after the percentage of Americans, unquote, who have certain non-evolutionary views, quote, drops below 20%, unquote. But until then, he counsels, we must be, quote, constantly vigilant, unquote. The real threat to Scientocracy, therefore, isn't mere faith. It's faith that dares to think for itself and disagree with the consensus. Being a kinder, gentler atheist, Mooney hopes to usher in Scientocracy without firing a shot. His, quote, ultimate solution, unquote, is, quote, nothing short of redefining the role of the scientist in today's society, unquote. This means that the cure for scientific illiteracy is for scientists and the media to engage in, quote, public outreach, unquote, to convince the largely religious public that, quote, scientists and the people who care about their work know best, unquote, how to solve society's problems. As far as the media is concerned, this requires a systematic propaganda campaign. In September 2005, just before the Kitzmiller versus Dover trial over teaching ID, Mooney co-authored the cover story for the Columbia Journalism Review, a flagship media insider's journal outlining the media's path in the role to scientific enlightenment. The primary purpose of his article was to instruct editors on the proper coverage of the evolution debate. He advocated nothing less than media censorship of viewpoints of dissent from evolution, stating, quote, worse, journalists often provide a springboard for anti-evolution criticism of that science, allotting ample quotes and soundbites to Darwin's critics in a quest to achieve balance. The pairing of competing claims plays directly into the hands of intelligent design proponents, who have cleverly argued they're mounting a scientific attack on evolution, unquote. For opinion editors, Mooney cautioned that, quote, the mission of the opinion pages and a faithfulness to scientific accuracy can easily come into conflict, unquote, and therefore it might be a bad idea to, quote, give voice to alternative ideas, unquote, like intelligent design. For news editors, the article offered even more covert advice. Quote, newspaper editors should think twice about assigning reporters who are fresh to the evolution issue and allowing them to default to the typical strategy frame, carefully balancing both sides of the issue, unquote. Unscientific America picks up where Mooney's Columbia Journalism Review article left off, stating, quote, if there's one thing that truly enrages scientists about journalistic coverage of the subjects they know intimately, it's the notion of balance, the idea that reporters must give roughly equal time or space to two different sides of a controversy, unquote. According to Mooney, quote, balance can be misleading, even downright biased, unquote. Well, I always thought balance was the cure for bias, but apparently in the coming Scientocracy, certain viewpoints must be scrubbed from the public dialogue by journalists who don't trust people to think for themselves. The public is increasingly skeptical that the media is telling the whole story, but it still trusts scientists. Thus, Unscientific America ends with an emphatic call for scientists to, quote, engage, unquote, with society because, quote, science itself must become the common culture, unquote. The hope is that scientists can become cool, hip, chic, and thereby convince everyone to accept their views. If the plan succeeds, we'll witness an army of graduate degree boasting and soundbite spewing scientists carrying the good news of the scientific consensus to the ends of the earth. And for those academics who feel that telling the public what to believe is below their pay grade, there's a cleaner option. Quote, arm graduate-level science students with the skills to communicate the value of what science does and to get them better in touch with our culture, unquote. In fact, a whole government-supported science media nonprofit industrial complex can be built around campaigning for the consensus. Moody writes, quote, let's encourage the public policy makers, leaders of the scientific community, and philanthropists who care about the role of science in our society to create a new range of nonprofit public interest fellowships and job positions whose express purpose is to connect science with other sectors of society, unquote. Once the army is trained and the network is in place, perhaps the unwashed masses will finally surrender to whatever the consensus demands. Even if some vestige remains, Carl Sagan's dream, a Scientocracy, will then become de facto reality. The cosmos may not be all there is, but it will be all that matters. Again, I'm Casey Luskin, and this was an article I published in the most recent issue of Salvo magazine. I want to make a little bit of commentary now that I'm done reading the article. I love science. As a matter of fact, I spent years studying science at the undergraduate and graduate levels and saw the sun come up in the laboratory more than once doing scientific research. So I think science is a great thing that has made immense contributions to humanity, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with supporting science. Science was my first academic love. But should the view that science can solve all of our problems dominate politics, media, and society? And should views that dissent from the consensus effectively be censored from journalism and the media? If you feel the same way I do, then you don't think that's the right way for democracy to function. And in fact, while science should have a voice at the table, it is by no means the only and singular voice that should be speaking. If you like these kind of ideas, then I think that you might really enjoy Salvo magazine, and it might make a wonderful Christmas, Hanukkah, or other present this time of year for your friends and family. Check out Salvo magazine at salvo.org, and I want listeners to know that even though I'm a senior editor of Salvo magazine, I'm not getting paid a dime for my work with Salvo, and I'm not getting paid a dime to say this. Salvo magazine is a wonderful publication that covers alternative viewpoints on topics like science, sex, and society that you won't often hear in the mainstream media, coming from credible voices with an edgy, witty writing style. Check out Salvo magazine, including subscription information, at salvomag.com. That's salvomag.com. I'm Casey Luskin with the ID the Future podcast. Thanks for listening.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute, 2008. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.idthefuture.com.